we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.
Financial peace. We all want it. For a while, I didn't have it. 20 years ago, I hit rock bottom. I lost just about everything. I turned to God for help, and I learned how to handle money His way. As you can imagine, it worked. That's why I started Financial Peace University, because God's ways work.
That's Dave Ramsey, creator of Financial Peace University. It is a lot of things, a lot of good things. Is it what he claims it is? God's way of managing your money, the Bible's way of managing your money. There's no doubt about it. There's some great advice in there. Some of it is just good old-fashioned common sense. Not always easy to follow, of course, but good old-fashioned common sense. But is it God's way of handling money? A lot of people who have come through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University say yes, and it works. We'll do a little preview and review of Financial Peace University here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Pastor Jonathan Carner on Financial Peace University, we will turn to the subject of a network miniseries called Waco. Terry Mattingly will be our guest. We'll talk with Scott Klusendorf. Oh, before that, we'll be talking with Pastor Jonathan Lang. We'll be talking to him about the maternal bond. It's not just an emotional, psychological kind of thing. It's physical, too, and it lasts your entire life. We'll find out how so. Then Scott Klusendorf will join us of Life Training Institute, a recent USA Today opinion column titled, "Government Had No Role in My Late-Term Abortion Struggle. Let's Keep It That Way." We'll get his response to that. Joining us to talk about Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, Pastor Jonathan Carner. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Manning, Iowa, and he's author of a document titled Financial Peace University, Preview and Review. Jonathan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks for having me.
First of all, has Dave Ramsey and his program, has it identified a real issue among Christians?
Absolutely. You just do the math. I mean, just do the statistics, even just with the American population, right? 76% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. That typically people are spending over $2,600 a year on credit card interest. That 64% can't cover a $1,000 emergency. That's in the church, too. I mean, I visit with people. I know their financial situation. No one's ever really taught them how to manage their money. This is a critical issue, one that people sometimes are ashamed to deal with, but when you bring it out in the open, their faces light up because they know they're not alone. So absolutely, this is a critical issue that I see as affecting our people in real and profound ways.
So who is Dave Ramsey and what is Financial Peace University?
Yeah, so Dave Ramsey, he's just ubiquitous in the financial world, right? He's on his financial Financial Peace University program. He has a Dave Ramsey radio show. He's on TV programs all the time. He's kind of the financial guru of the evangelical world, but he's really put together an excellent curriculum with Financial Peace University, which is a 9-week course that goes through the basics of how to make a budget and live on your budget. And Dave has in that program what he calls these 7 baby steps to financial peace. And what I've observed as he walks through and teaches people this stuff, he breaks some pretty complicated concepts down into just baby steps that people can one by one walk through and check off and achieve financial peace. And that's something that man, it can change your life. Dave likes to say, change your family tree. But I've seen it happen in people's lives personally, the way it transforms their lives and gives them hope that they're finally, for the first time, going to get control of their finances and be able to have peace. So, yeah, this program is excellent, and Dave does such a great job of presenting it. It's well worth people looking into.
So what is your biggest concern about Financial Peace University?
Yeah, great question. So I give the glowing review of it, but it comes with concerns because Dave is he's a wonderful man of God. He confesses Christ as his Savior. In session 9, he makes that explicit when he grounds the whole program in the gospel that our God is a giver, and therefore we are most fulfilled and most, our lives are most meaningful when we're basically acting like our God. And I appreciate that about Dave. What concerns me, though, is he'll have some of these moments where I call it textual kidnapping. He basically just lifts a text out of its home and he gives it a new home and a new address and makes it say something it doesn't actually say in context. So listeners have to be discerning. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this review of the program, so that going in, okay, he's going to have a few zingers in here where he's going to lift the text out of context. It's not actually what the text says in context, so we know up front it doesn't say that, so don't be confused. And the other concern that comes with that, see, because he kind of proverbializes Scripture. So he's great with the Proverbs, but when you take the Proverbs and you kind of treat all of Scripture like the Proverbs, where you can just lift individual sentences out and turn them into wise sayings that can apply in any circumstance, what you end up doing, here's my greatest concern, is by turning Scripture basically into a financial guidebook, you run the risk of evicting Jesus. And that would be the greatest concern for me, if we don't at least alert people to some of those tendencies that are in the program.
So you would recommend the program, but not the program's use of Scripture?
Yes, that's exactly right. The program is excellent. And I can tell you from personally going through it and from members going through it, the financial counsel is top-notch. The theology, I wince pretty much every session. There's one or two times I go, oh, you didn't have to go there. So you just got to know going in that we teach our people Scripture is about Christ and what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us. Yes, there are wise teachings in Scripture and how to manage our finances, but that's not really the main goal. And I'm not sure Dave would say that. It's just that you could come away with that impression.
Okay. Here's kind of maybe the question that could kind of clear it up here. And that is, if Dave Ramsey didn't have any quotations of Scripture, uses of Scripture in his program, would his program still be an excellent guide to better handling of your money?
Yeah, great question. So, yeah, because where Dave is really strong, and I'll use a scriptural example, is when he draws from the Proverbs, right? Because the Proverbs are wise sayings, wise teachings about the way life usually works. So where Dave really excels is when he goes to the Proverbs and he says, look, the borrower is slave to the lender. Everyone who's heard Dave Ramsey speak has heard that phrase. Or he'll speak about gazelle intensity with getting out of debt. Well, there's a text in Proverbs that talks about running away from debt like a gazelle from its predator, right? So you don't technically have to quote Scripture to offer those wise sayings, because those wise sayings are simply reflecting how God has wired the world. So, yeah, he could technically do this presentation the first 8 sessions, I'll say that. The first 8 sessions he could do without quoting Scripture. Although I will say in session number 9, when he does kind of give his personal confession of Christ, he does do his best to ground this giving ultimately in the gospel, and I appreciate that. But the financial counsel itself, he wouldn't have to quote Scripture, because if you just deal with wisdom, you don't have to quote the Proverbs to do that. So yeah, he could.
Okay, some other questions with respect to, in general, to Financial Peace University. I think one of the things that I am concerned about pastorally is in that word peace. Because if you're like me, I sleep way better at night when I got money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm running low, I don't have peace. But I know, as a Christian, especially as a Lutheran, that's because I've made money my God.
Mm-hmm.
I put my hope in my money. And it's the roller coaster of getting toward the end of the month, or it's a roller coaster of, am I going to have enough to cover that? When I know the first commandment says, convicts me there, that I'm driving my peace from something other than my good and giving God. Is that a concern we should have?
Yeah, it's a fine concern. You're right, because if we're grounding our peace in any created thing, then it has become our God. So our peace ultimately will be with Jesus. And Dave Ramsey, one of his famous closing lines at his usual Dave Ramsey program is, the ultimate way to financial peace is to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus. And so, you know, he aims at that. But that would be my concern ultimately, is that we're going to ground our true peace in Jesus Christ regardless of circumstances. That's important. Having said that, like you said, the lack of dollars does cause stress in a life and in a marriage and so forth. So maybe in a horizontal sense, in the sense that bringing order to my life, bringing stability to my life and security to my life, this is a program to help accomplish that type of understanding of peace, where I'm not fretting about, oh my goodness, if the washer breaks, we're going to have to take out a loan. I can't afford to replace the washer. Or if the car needs an oil change, I don't have any money in there. We don't have money for food the rest of this week. That sort of horizontal daily living, this does a great job for aiming after that. If we get it out of order and we're starting to put our vertical pieces, let's call it that, in finances, then we've got it way out of order, and we need to come back and recenter in Jesus Christ, which is what I wrote that preview and review really to do, was to repeatedly help people understand the scriptures present Christ and what he has done for us, and ultimately he's our peace. This program will bring order to your life. It will bring stability and security. But in terms of eternal peace and security in your Savior, that only comes in that rock-solid faith in Jesus Christ.
Let's talk a little bit about Ramsey's view of debt. And this, again, I think is more of what someone might gain as an impression rather than something explicitly said, as far as I can tell. Is debt a sin?
Good question. So as far as Dave Ramsey teaches, and he says he searched Scripture for it, and in my search of Scripture, I've never seen debt called a sin. But there's never in Scripture any positive portrayal of debt. It's always foolish. It's always warned against. There are red flags everywhere if you go down that road, but never is it explicitly called a sin.
We're talking about Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Pastor Jonathan Connor is our guest, author of a document titled Financial Peace University Preview and Review. When we come back, how does that aversion to debt look like in the life of a Christian congregation? We'll be right back.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy! Hector's cherry tier got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy!
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
The prosperity gospel, godliness, Islam, abortion, religious truth claims, scientism, the centrality of justification. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teach on these topics at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, we're talking about Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Pastor Jonathan Connor is our guest. He's authored a document titled Financial Peace University Preview and Review. Before the break, we were talking about debt. And while Ramsey kind of pulls up short of calling debt a sin, I'm wondering if we could play this out a little bit into the life of, say, individual Christians. Debt is sometimes viewed as a financial necessity if you want to have a house, own a house, so to speak. Or on the larger scale, the corporate scale, a Christian congregation building a what's now routinely, you know, million plus facility if they just simply want to replace a modest sized sanctuary. How does this look in the lives of individual Christians and Christian congregations?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really think if people go through this program, they're going to be challenged in some pretty hard ways, because the only debt that Dave Ramsey really is on board with would be mortgage debt. But having said that, he has some very explicit guidelines for how to go about that responsibly. He would have some strong things to say about personal debt, and he does a great job in Session 4 on dumping debt, on really going after a lot of the cultural myths, he calls them, the things that we think we have to have in order to get by in life. And he really, one by one, picks them apart. And that's a painful experience if you're one who's kind of grown up in American culture and you believe debt is a way of life, that debt is a way of getting ahead, and all the other myths that we kind of grow up with. He takes those apart and actually shows where we can do it without debt. In terms of churches, this is a hard one. I don't have any great answers for how churches do it. I suppose each church needs to kind of wrestle through that. I would think, though, at the very least, what Dave Ramsey teaches, churches should practice on their leadership board. I mean, he says you should hate debt. Hate it. And I think that's not bad counsel. Why would we eagerly pursue debt? Is it always avoidable? Perhaps not, especially with building projects and so forth. But if we start off with a love of debt and viewing it in a positive light, I think we've started off on the wrong foot. And that's what his warning ultimately will be, is viewing debt as a positive thing that somehow is a way to get ahead. Just think about it. You can't get ahead by going deeper in a hole, right? So debt ultimately is loss, but there may be times to handle it responsibly. But we need to start with that premise, like he says, hate it. Just hate debt and understand this can destroy your life. It can destroy your church. I mean, you talk about churches doing different ways of doing fundraising, but you've known enough churches that have been destroyed by debt because they got out of control and they didn't hate it up front. So, yeah, I think those myths that he's going to pick apart would be, it's a difficult session for a lot of people, but it's needed.
Does Ramsey incorporate or deal with what we would number as the 9th and 10th commandments, forbidding coveting?
You know, he doesn't explicitly deal with coveting. So I don't think that really is something that comes up in the curriculum as I review this mentally. I don't remember him really dwelling on it. It'd be something that would be helpful to do, because I think that drives a lot of our spending decisions. He won't use that language. He will talk about keeping up with the Joneses, you know, that sort of language, which would be a way of speaking in the ninth and tenth commandment, but he doesn't explicitly go there.
One that would have been of a concern to Lutherans in America until about 100 years ago, and that is insurance, which is, some people would view it, it's not just a necessity, it's now in the United States a requirement of everyday right. life. How does he mm-hmm. how does he approach it?
Yeah, so he doesn't, and I'm totally aware of what you're talking about, he doesn't really raise any concerns about insurance in terms of, you know, just like you said, there was a time in the church's history where insurance was not smiled upon, let's just put it lightly, but he really sees insurance as a necessity. That's how he frames it. So I don't know if he just doesn't want to go there or is unaware of it or just sees it as counterproductive in today's world that he doesn't go there. But the part that it concerns me when he talks about insurance, the good things about insurance, he does a great job of teaching if you're going to have insurance, which ones to have, which ones to avoid. He does a top-notch job. The only part that concerns me is when he tends to say that insurance is there to protect your wealth. Well, you know, that for me is a little bit of an uncomfortable thing because that would be not the reason I would encourage a person to take Financial Peace University is to try to get really wealthy. Although Dave is known for using phrases like win with money and so forth. And I would like to see that rephrased a little bit to talk about, you know, handling money wisely to bless our neighbors. So putting it more in the vocational world. So that's the one concern I would have with his insurance talk is he doesn't frame it vocationally like I would like him to do. So in the terms of, okay, we may need insurance. We may need insurance to replace income loss, or we may need the insurance to protect the well-being of our neighbor, our children, and so forth. So there's a role for insurance. I don't know if he tackles that as thoroughly as he might, but then again, he's cramming a lot of material into 9 sessions, so it might have just got cut off on the editing block because there's not enough time for it.
What does he have to say about probably the 2 biggest sources of financial stress in a family with children? And that is, one, how do I plan for my eventual, if perhaps not inevitable, retirement? And 2, how do I put my kids through school?
Yeah, great question. So he has a whole session specifically on these sorts of questions of retirement, which one of the things I highlight in the review I wrote is that's a concept that it would be wise for Christians at least to sit down and ask to begin with, what is retirement? Why do we do retirement? It shouldn't just be a chance to just have a prolonged vacation. We simply, like you said, there is going to come a time when I'm no longer able to do the vocation that is earning income for my family, and I'm going to need to be able to provide for them. So how do I replace that income? That's a wise question to ask. But he does a great job, and I think this is really helpful, of educating people on savings plans that are tax-favored so that you can shelter your savings from taxes. And he teaches what the difference between a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA and a 403B and a 401K and all these different tax-favored savings plans that are out there. And then what he also does, which is very helpful, is he gives you guidelines to say, okay, 15% of your income is what you're going to save, not more. And shoot, you want to try to hit 15%, that would be your max you're aiming for, so that everything else is balanced. In terms of putting kids through school, he does a great job laying out the college savings plans that are out there and how you can fund them and how they work. And then what I really like, he dispels the myth that parents should just pay for their kids' college and go into huge debt to do it. He points out and offers the statistics to do it, that it, as it turns out, kids who work at least part-time to help fund their way through school actually tend to get better grades because they're managing their time better. So he does a great job of saying, here are savings plans. Here's how you work it into your budget. It's in the baby steps. So you got to make sure you do an order. And once you get your financial house in order, you start working toward that. And that's saving for college. That's step number 5. Step number 4, though, is that retirement savings plan. So you work through those steps. And if you do it, it works. Having said that, he also points out that, look, it doesn't do our kids any favor to have them come out of college with thousands and thousands of dollars in student debt. What that does to them for the rest of their life is huge. So maybe there's wisdom in saying having a kid work for a year before he enters college to try to save, to pay for the education. So what he does again is that teaching of hating debt. It's not just a way of life. We don't just have to do it that way because that's what everyone says. You have to have debt. There are ways he proposes to go after that, to try to keep the debt at bay, keep it away, so your kid can come out of college, if at all possible, debt-free and starting that new life without being in the hole to begin with.
We're talking about Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. Pastor Jonathan Connor is our guest, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Manning, Iowa, and author of a document titled Financial Peace University Preview and Review. Dave Ramsey talks a lot about stewardship. You will find some excellent stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. Managing the Gifts God Gives Us, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Stewardship Ministry, lcms.org/stewardship. When we come back, we're going to talk about a theological shortcoming, maybe kind of a truncated version of the Christian's hope that people will find in Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University with Pastor Jonathan Connor.
In Romans 15, Paul tells us, "Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." But what does Christian welcome really look like? Find out this month in the Lutheran Witness magazine as we explore hospitality, diversity, and what these ideas mean for Lutheran Christians today. Subscribe or read a sample issue at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During February, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Family Shield Ministries. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
If you have a middle school-aged child or grandchild in the St. Louis Metro East, encourage them to attend an open house from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Sunday, February the 11th at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. You can meet faculty, staff, administration, students, and parents. Learn more by calling 618-656-0043 or visit melhs.org. Open house, 1 to 3, Sunday afternoon, February 11th at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you a high schooler who enjoys theology? Do you know a high schooler who would make a good pastor or deaconess? Every summer, Concordia Theological Seminary offers programs for vocational discernment and theological education for high school students. Check out Christ Academy and Phoebe Academy this summer, June 17th through the 30th. Registrations open now. Email us at christacademy@ctsfw.edu or register online. Christ Academy at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, June 17th through the 30th.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking at Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University with Pastor Jonathan Connor. Now, let's talk a little bit about one of the theological shortcomings that you had mentioned, I think, in your piece. It has to do with kind of a truncated version of the Christian hope in a phrase that Ramsey uses, like going home to heaven.
Yeah, so, and this is standard evangelical talk. So there's a way to frame this correctly. So we can speak of going home to heaven in this sense, that when we are with our Savior, we are home. That's fine. But the great hope of Scripture is not dying and going to heaven. The great hope of Scripture is being resurrected from the dead bodily and seeing heaven come to earth and seeing Christ restore this creation. So the danger then with having this die and go to heaven theology is it robs our vocation of some of its eternal significance, because it makes it seem as if all we're doing is marking time until we die and go to heaven. So you're just going to make whatever money you can here and get by here because you're going to leave it all behind and go away to heaven. No, this world has so much more meaning and purpose in the here and now, living in our vocations, and you have the great promises that this earth is going to be made new and that our bodies are going to be raised from the dead and heaven is going to join earth and Christ is going to dwell among us. Not just marking time till we leave this all behind. This is all going to be made new. I remember something Dr. Bierman said at the St. Louis Sim. He said, look, when God raises me, he's not going to hand me a harp and a halo. He's going to hand me a lawn boy and a plot of ground to mow. You know, so he was speaking of the physicalness of the new creation. And I think just by speaking about going home to heaven runs the risk of just, like you said, truncating all that, just leaving that off and robbing people of the deeper hope that we have of the resurrection and its return of Christ.
Several final questions for you, Pastor Connor. What the goal is, I think a laudable goal, is to help people manage their money and to, at least in worldly terms, be able to accrue or pass on some financial success. Mm-hmm. In that vein, is there a danger here of Financial Peace University's program leaving the impression that financial failure is a sin?
Oh, great question. Great question. You know, he doesn't speak that way. And so really, he doesn't speak and doesn't use that sin word. I'm not sure if he uses it at all. So it's not something that he uses. But in terms of impression, yeah, I suppose what it would do is certainly run the risk of creating guilt of, I'm not doing this right. I should be, quote, use Dave's language, winning with money, but I'm not winning with money. I'm not doing this right. That's one of the reasons why I don't think that phrase is a great phrase for Dave to use, is because when you talk about trying to win with money, well, that doesn't always work, even if you followed all the baby steps. Let's say in some parts of the world, Christians are persecuted, right? And their property is taken. So are we to say, well, you didn't follow the baby steps, so, you know, you're a failure? No, I think that would be a wrong way to frame this. So if someone came away with that, I think they could battle with guilt of the feeling of, I haven't achieved financial success, or I haven't, quote-unquote, won with money. But that wouldn't be something that's anywhere explicit in the program. But that's why I think it's also important from the Lutheran perspective to again and again ground this FPU stuff in vocation. This is a tool that can help us excel in our vocations. But the main point of Scripture, again, is Jesus Christ and his gospel and the blood he shed for me to set me free from sin and guilt. So we need to come back to that repeatedly so that people can't go down that road.
Does the Financial Peace University program present itself as God's way or the Bible's way of handling money?
Yes, and this is one of my complaints. And again, Dave Ramsey is a obviously a true believer in Christ, loves his Savior, and I respect him as a brother in Jesus. My concern is that his evangelicalism has led him away from Christ at the center. And so, and this happens in so much in evangelical preaching, and you know this, and so a preacher will stand up there and he'll just rip Bible verses left and right out of context, and he'll weave them in seamlessly with his presentation to make his point, and he'll make this point about, now that's biblical preaching, that's how we preach the Bible, and you're sitting here going, whoa, no, that is not how we preach the Bible. We do not kidnap biblical texts and make them say what we want to say. We have to spend some more time letting that text introduce itself to us in its home environment, where it lives, and entering into its world, as opposed to ripping it out into our world. So when Dave says, this is a biblical way of doing finances, I cringe, because it's not that it's necessarily false, it's just, it's very much an overstatement, because he hasn't always been careful with the text that he's used. So when he says, this is what the Bible says about money, I want to say, whoa, wait a minute. Now, look, the Bible talks about standing firm. It's not talking about making a budget, right? So you have those sorts of moments where you say, whoa, no, that's saying too much. I'd be more comfortable if Dave said, this is a wise way of handling money. So when he, tongue-in-cheek, will say, this is the advice your grandmother would give you, that I'm on board with. That's true. He is offering wise advice. It's very solid. It's just maybe an overstatement to say, this is the Bible's way of doing things. Maybe not.
What is the greatest strength of Financial Peace University?
The greatest strength, as like I mentioned a minute ago, is the baby steps. He takes a very complicated world. I mean, to talk about finances, that's a huge world, trying to get your finances in order. And he breaks it down into very manageable baby steps. I can do this. Baby step one, get $1,000 in the bank right away. That's my emergency fund. I can do that. Baby step two, okay, I'm going to work the debt snowball. He explains it and goes into great detail how to pay off your lowest debts first, then you roll it over into the next one, into the next one. And you watch people do this, and they go, oh my goodness, I paid that one off. And now I have extra dollars to pay off the next one. And they get excited. And I've watched them do this. They're actually getting out of debt. And so they build momentum. Maybe step three, get a fully funded emergency fund for 3 to 6 months. Okay, I know my goal. I can work toward that. Maybe step four, invest 15% of your household income for retirement. Okay, I can do math, 15%. This is my household income. This is how I'm going to go after retirement. Dave has taught me which is a good plan, which is a bad plan. I know how to do that. Maybe step five, okay, start saving for college. Okay, I know the good plans and the bad plans, what to pursue and what to avoid. I can do that. Maybe step six, pay off your home early. Okay, we can do that. So you've worked through that. Maybe step seven, he uses the phrase build wealth and give generously. I know Lutherans tend to cringe when we hear the phrase build wealth, and I address that in this document of maybe a better way of looking at that phrase. But the giving generously part, it's true. If you've actually gotten out of debt and you got your finances in order, you can start thinking about giving in a way you've never thought about before. When I talk to people and they dream about how they'd like to be giving, lots of them can't because they're in so much debt. But when they start to get out of debt, you hear them say, I can give. I can give like I want to give. So his greatest strength is that breaking it down into simple steps that you can just review. This is step one, step two, step three, and so forth. I can check them off as I go. I have a plan. I know how to do this now. It's been broken down in a very concrete way. And that really is its greatest strength.
What's the greatest weakness of Financial Peace University?
The greatest weakness is when Dave, the financial guru, turns into an evangelical preacher. Because I've got all kinds of different names for it, but you basically start to proverbialize all of Scripture, and each Scripture verse kind of gets packed in its own fortune cookie. And so you can open up your fortune cookie Scripture passage and say, oh, good, I have financial wisdom for today. When that text wasn't about financial wisdom, it was about Jesus Christ and his gospel. And that for me is, and for all Lutheran pastors who consider offering this, that will be their concern. It's not a major thing, but it shows up enough throughout that if you're going to offer it, you're going to need to alert your people in advance. let's review. This is what Scripture is about. Here are some of the verses taken out of context tonight, and we put them in context. Just remember, it's about Jesus Christ and his gospel. And so when you hear it taken out of context, don't be led astray by that. Just keep it grounded where it belongs. Just know that Dave's gotten carried away and proverbialized Scripture, but that's not how we do it. So the important thing when you offer this pastorally is just again and again to teach, what is Scripture? Who's it about? What's the main message? Christ and his gospel. Keep them centered there. Keep their identity centered in Christ and his gospel. And then you can utilize Financial Peace University in a very productive way.
So in a nutshell, what's the best piece of advice for a Lutheran congregation that's thinking about utilizing Financial Peace University?
Well, I would say do it. I mean, you just consider your people's situation. They need guidance. This is really solid stuff. Yes, there are some theological concerns, but we just produced the resource for you. It's really simple. You just turn the page for that night. It's all laid out for you. You don't have to spend hours and hours and hours prepping. It's all there for you. So do it. Teach your people both how to be wise financial stewards, and you have the opportunity. I mean, here's the way I look at it. You get this unique opportunity to say, here's what Scripture is about. You're going to see it represented throughout occasionally in a way that is incorrect, and here's what makes being Lutheran so fantastic. We get to keep Jesus as the point of Scripture, not money. And that's an opportunity. So it shouldn't be a fear to say, oh my goodness, there's going to be Dave up there and he's going to misquote Scripture from time to time. Sure, he might. He will. I know he will. I've watched him. But it's my opportunity to say to my people, here it comes. Just be aware of it. This is why I teach you. So you're discerning listeners. Remember, Scripture is about Christ and what Christ has done for you. And if you take that as an opportunity, I say go for it. I think you'll see neat things happen in your congregation.
Pastor Jonathan Connor is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Manning, Iowa, and author of a document titled Financial Peace University Preview and Review. You can read it absolutely free, and I highly recommend that you do at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Connor, thank you very much for your hard work, and keep it up.
Thank you.
When we come back, there's a network TV miniseries on the Branch Davidian disaster called Waco. We're going to be talking with Terry Mattingly of the Weekly On Religion column about it right after this. The religion of sex, the state of the church in Western society, defying the devil in international mission work. These are some of the issues addressed in our book of the month for February, The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World. It's edited by regular guest Dr. Scott Murray. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, The Gates of Hell.
Give your spouse the gift of time for Valentine's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Call toll-free 1-866-827-0062 or visit thecleaningauthority.com. Forget the flowers, candy, and jewelry this year with a Valentine's Day gift certificate from our favorite cleaning service, The Cleaning Authority, 866-827-0062 or thecleaningauthority.com.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
O morning star, O morning star, shine from brighter throes.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.